You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, I'm so glad you're with us today because today we are continuing our Advent series. This is the third week of Advent. And here's what we're talking about in this series. We're looking at three different times in the Christmas story when angels appeared to various people and their message was, fear not. Come on, everybody say that with me on the count of three. One, two, three, fear not. I really believe that's a message for us this Advent season, a message that we need to get into our hearts, that we need to let go of fear. We need to make an exchange and open our hearts for love and joy and peace and expectation for the celebration of the birth of our Savior. I really believe God has so much more for us. And so I just want to encourage you to let go of fear today and open your heart to receive from Him. Let me just recap where we've been. In week one, we talked about overcoming the fear of what God might be asking us to do. Sometimes doing God's will can actually be scary. So that was week one. Last week, we talked about overcoming the fear of what others might be thinking about us. If you missed those messages, go back and listen to them on the podcast. Today, I want us to look at the story of when the angel appeared to the shepherds, that famous part of the Christmas story that we think about and we see in nativity scenes. And I want to talk to us today about the fear of where do I stand with God? This nagging question of where do I stand with God? Because I think sometimes we have a sense of, am I good with God? You know, am I right with God? Is God happy with me? When God looks at me, how does He see me? Like, how does God feel about you right now? And I think sometimes there's some fear surrounding that question. Let's be honest, we come to church and we sing the songs about the love of God and we amen the messages about the grace of God. But I think every one of us at some point in time, we often struggle with a sense of guilt and shame and condemnation and this sense of like, you know, am I good with God? Like, what does He really think about me? Is He angry with me? Is He happy with me? Like, am I ready to meet Him? I think we wrestle with this question. And so we want to tackle that question today and the fear surrounding that question. And so we're going to get right into it. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2 from the Christmas story, that famous part of the Christmas story where the angels appear to the shepherds with some good news. Are you ready? Here we go. Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 through 11, it says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Verse 10, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" In the Old King James translation, it says, "Fear not. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Can you imagine this? Here are these shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks, and an angel appears to them and begins to herald and announce this good news to them. It's just kind of mind-blowing for me. Last year, when I was in the Holy Land on my study tour, they actually took us to what's called the Shepherd's Fields, right outside of Bethlehem. We have a picture for you there. Can you imagine looking out over those hills, looking out over those fields, and these angels appeared? Like, this happened. This is the place, right where this happened. And what's really interesting to me is who the angels appeared to. So back in Jesus's time, it was common for a family, if you had any financial means at all, to hire a herald, someone who would announce the birth of your child. Remember, this is before the days of the internet or the newspaper, right? So if you wanted to get the news out that a child had been born, you hired a herald to go out and like announce the news to everyone, especially if the occasion was the birth of a firstborn son. Because in that culture, that was the symbol that God was blessing you and the family name was going to live on. Now, who would you expect God the Father, right, to announce this good news to herald the good news of the birth of the Son of God to? I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I would think that God would send the angel to announce this good news to maybe Caesar, right? This was the Roman Empire, like the most important, most powerful person in all of Rome. Maybe the local, like Roman officials there in Palestine, in the area where Jesus was born. Like, if nothing else, you would think he would send the angel to announce the good news to the religious leaders, right? The Pharisees, somebody important needs to hear about the birth of the Son of God. Are you with me? But instead, what does God do? God sends the angel to herald the birth of his son to a bunch of shepherds. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. Like, yeah, exactly, Pastor, because my nativity scene at home has shepherds in it. Duh. Well, the thing is, we're so familiar with the story, aren't we? We're so familiar with the story that it doesn't even surprise us. But when you understand what's really going on here, it's a bit shocking and surprising that the angel actually went and announced good news and heralded the good news to, of all people, a bunch of shepherds. Because shepherding was considered a very lowly profession back then. Like, nobody aspired to be a shepherd. If you were a father who had a whole bunch of sons, you might save the role of shepherd for like the very youngest son, or maybe a servant, or even a slave. Shepherds were not educated. They were marginalized in society. They were rejected by the religious leaders. They were outsiders to the religious system. They really couldn't live up to the expectations of the religious rules of the day. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. So it's really a bit shocking and surprising that of all these people, the angels would announce this good news to the shepherds. And when you know about the shepherds' situation and their condition, it's no wonder that maybe they lived in fear with where they stood with God. They had maybe this fear of like, how do we as shepherds relate to God? Maybe they were just a little bit surprised that the angel was showing up to announce this good news to them of all people. Now, why? Why did the shepherds feel distant from God? I want to give you a few thoughts that I think we might even be able to relate to. Number one, they felt unworthy. See, shepherds were nomadic. They spent a lot of time out on the road and traveling and out in the fields, wandering around with a bunch of sheep, which made it really difficult for them to be able to get back to the temple to actually perform their purification rites and make the sacrifices. So according to the religious leaders of the day, they were considered ceremonially unclean, which means you couldn't touch a shepherd, because anybody who came into contact with a shepherd, if they touched you, you would be considered ceremonially unclean. Can you imagine how unworthy you would feel? Now, if you spend all of your time tending to sheep and hanging around sheep, what do you think you smell like? You smell like sheep, right? So they were physically dirty, not appealing. They were spiritually considered to be unclean. And essentially what was being communicated to them by the religious leaders, by the religious system of the day, is you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough for God. So you can imagine they had this sense of feeling unworthy. And I think there are probably some people in this room right now who you've felt that way before. Maybe you even feel that way today as you come into church. You know, we come into church in a day like this during Advent, right? And there's all these like really beautiful, holy-looking people all around us lifting up hands, singing songs to the Lord during this Advent season. And I think some of us have a sense like, if people really knew what I was like, if people knew some of the mistakes I've made of the past, like, what would they think of me? What kind of Christian am I? And then, I don't know about you, I know you're more spiritual than me, but quite often in church, sometimes I'm worshiping and I become very mindful of how I've failed during the week, how I've sinned, how I've fallen short. Anybody ever had a moment like that? I know you're more spiritual than me, but I have moments like that where I can even be reminded while I'm worshiping of the wrong things I've done during the week. And there can even be a sense of feeling unworthy. Come on, some of you were yelling at your kids in the car on the way to church just this morning, right? Come on, parents, you ever had a moment like that? Like, don't make me pull this car over. I'll come back there. We're going to go to church and worship Jesus and get into the Christmas spirit. You ever been there before? You kind of blew it as a parent, right? And you come in here to church and you look at all these holy looking people and you just feel a little bit unworthy. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Sometimes we feel a little bit unworthy. We do. We do. Shepherds felt that way. Here's the second thing. Not only did they feel unworthy, they felt inadequate. Everybody say inadequate. Inadequate. See, the shepherds, they were uneducated. They were really marginalized in society. They were looked down upon. Like, nobody ever aspired to be a shepherd. And so, you know, as they looked around other people, they felt like they didn't measure up. They weren't one of the smartest kids who got picked to go to rabbi school, because that's what happened to all of the smart kids. You were shepherding if you were out of options. You know what I'm saying? So when they looked around and compared themselves to other people, they felt inadequate. And I think this is what happens to us. Oftentimes, we compare ourselves to other people and we can easily feel inadequate. Any of you guys, anybody in here, you have that friend who, like, that one friend, their life is so perfectly organized. Like, you go to their house and it's always spotless, always clean. Everything's in its place. Like, it's so clean and so organized, it would make Chip and Joanna Gaines proud. Come on. And you just, like, you know what your house is like right now. You got laundry flowing everywhere. Like, you lost one of your kids in a pile of laundry one time. You couldn't even find them. You got so much laundry. And you look at them, and you think, how do they keep their life so perfectly organized? Let's be honest. Sometimes, you know, like, we compare ourselves to other people, to your friends, to your family, like, where they are in their career and their achievements. And you think to yourself, I thought I'd be further along in my career by now. I thought I would have gotten to, like, that dream job, that promotion. I'd be making so much money by now. And you end up having a sense of feeling inadequate. It happens to us, doesn't it? Some of you feel that way today. Maybe even in church, this is a shame, but this happens, like, you know, you join a life group or you're serving on a team or, you know, you've been in church for a while and you get around other Christians and you think, man, they're just so much more spiritual than me. Like, they know how to pray these, like, beautiful prayers. Like, how do they learn to pray that way? And they've got a scripture for everything. Like, how do they know all those scriptures? And you're like, me, I'm just trying not to curse on a Sunday morning at church. I'm trying to mind my manners and behave, right? And they're just like, and suddenly you feel spiritually inadequate when you compare yourself to other people. Anybody ever been there before? Some of you feel that way today. And so I think we can relate to the shepherds. They felt unworthy. They felt inadequate. And then number three, I would imagine they felt unloved. Imagine when society looks down upon you in this way. Shepherds were looked down upon. And in fact, some commentators tell us that shepherds, their stature was so low in society that a shepherd's testimony was not even admissible in court. Like, their words carried no weight. Can you imagine being disqualified that way? Can you imagine being dismissed that way? Like, you couldn't even, like, testify, like, press, like, your plea in court because, like, you were that marginalized. I would imagine this would leave the shepherds with a sense of feeling unloved. And I think some of you, like, you've been there before. Some of you might be there, like, even right now, you carry around the sense of feeling unloved. I mean, some of you, like, you've been through a divorce or a spouse walked out on you. Maybe you're going through that right now and you're in this Christmas season and it's a sense of, like, how could this have happened to me? Like, why? How could I be so unlovable that they would have walked out on me that way? Some of you, you grew up in a home where your dad left when you were a kid, and you still carry around this sense, like, what was wrong with us? What was wrong with us as a family, as a son or a daughter, that he couldn't love me, that he left that way? Some of you didn't grow up in a loving home where there was love and affirmation, and you still kind of carry around a hole in your heart. There's this sense of, like, why am I not worthy of love? Some of you, if you're honest, like, you look at yourself in the mirror and you don't love what you see. And there's this sense of, like, if I don't love myself, how could other people ever love me? I think if you're not there today, at some point in time, many of us have been through a season where we felt unloved. It was hard for us to even receive love from other people. Unloved, inadequate, unworthy. There are people, I think, all around us that feel this way, even at church on a Sunday morning. See, here's the funny thing. We come into church, and it's interesting. There's such a difference between, like, perception and reality. Because I think many of us, sometimes we come to church, and we look around at other people, and we think, you know, they're so perfect. Look at that family. Just picture perfect, you know, in church. They dress really nice, and they look good. But I'm feeling like such a screw-up today. If people knew how I felt. Listen, let me just tell you, there are people all around you in these different categories. At some point in time, or maybe even today, they're going through a season where they're feeling unworthy or inadequate or unloved. There may be somebody here who's even more successful than you. Maybe they've got more money than you, more things than you. But the reality is they're going through something right now that feels bigger than them, and they feel like they have nobody in their life, and they're going through it by themselves. There are people all around you, in front of you, behind you, to each side of you, who are carrying around some kind of hurt, some kind of pain, some kind of disappointment. We just need to acknowledge that today. And I think we're not that different from the shepherds. Here's the bottom line, okay? Religion didn't work for the shepherds. Religion didn't help the shepherds. Not only were they kind of the lowest of the low, and not only were they kind of, you know, shunned by their society, but religion didn't help them out any. The religious leaders didn't help them. The religious system only left them feeling even distant, more distant from God. And here's the whole point. Religion didn't work for the shepherds, and religion doesn't work for us. Religiosity doesn't work for us. God did not send his son Jesus into this world to bring us another religion, but in so many ways to set us free from religion, to set us free from religiosity, and to bring us something better. The essence of Christianity is not religion. It's about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's the good news that a Savior has been born to you. It's the good news that Jesus has done for you what you could never do for yourself. In so many ways, religion is about outward conformity, but Jesus came to bring inward transformation, something so much better. You know what religion does? Religion reduces Christianity down to a set of rules, to a bunch of do's and don'ts. And so if I do like what I'm supposed to do, I can feel good about myself. And if I avoid the things I'm not supposed to do, I can feel really good about myself. And if we're not careful, what begins to happen over time is we even look at others, kind of compare ourselves spiritually, and we can end up even feeling a little bit spiritually smug. Well, thank God I'm not like that, and I do the things God wants me to do. And we end up feeling, you know, more spiritual, more religious, more holier than thou. And we've all encountered people like that. And let me just tell you, that made Jesus sick. He rebuked the Pharisees for that. He said, you've got this thing all wrong. You look perfect on the outside, but what's on the inside is actually filthy. You've missed the whole point. Religion is about outward conformity and projecting that we have it all together. But the Son of God came to bring inward transformation. I want to just say this morning, God wants something so much better for you. God wants a relationship with you. And that's why he sent a person. If you needed another kind of fix, he would have gave you religion. But you needed a relationship with him. So he gave you a person. He gave you the gift of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate this time of year. That's the good news. Gospel means good news. That's what we embrace and celebrate at Christmas. That is the good news. And so let's talk about that for a moment. Let's talk about and unpack what that means. And I want us to look at how the Apostle Paul described this. And if you don't know anything about the Apostle Paul, let me just give you a little refresher, okay? The Apostle Paul, he was the epitome of religion. He was a Pharisee. He was a, you know, a religious leader. He was someone who knew the commandments of God inside and out. Like, he represented the system. He was the polar opposite, the opposite end of the spectrum from the shepherds, until one day, in fact, he was out persecuting these Christians, this little Jewish sect that he thought was messing up all of Judaism. And so he was out throwing Christians in jail, persecuting them, until one day he met Jesus Christ. On the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him, knocked him off of his horse. Come on, talk about an encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus showed up and revealed himself to Paul, changed his life. He had an encounter with the grace of God. Jesus didn't kill him that day. Jesus said, I'm going to use you. I'm going to repurpose your life. And so he had this complete epiphany, this change from religiosity to an experience with Jesus, a relationship with God. Here's how he described the good news. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 3, verses 20 through 22 from the New Living Translation. I love this translation. Here's what it says. The Apostle Paul writes this: for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Verse 21, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. In other words, the Old Testament and the commandments and the laws of God always pointed in the direction of Christ. God always had a plan of salvation that was unfolding. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that we read about in the Old Testament. In verse 22, he writes this: we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. That's good news. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the good news? I want to give you three points this morning. This would be a great time to open up the Redemption app or whatever you're using to take notes. If you don't have the app, get it from our website. What is the good news? It's as simple as 1, 2, 3. Let me give you 3 points. Number one, here's the good news. You can't earn God's acceptance by observing the law. The good news, you cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. Let's look at the scripture. Here's what Paul wrote. Romans chapter 3, first part of verse 20. Look at this. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. In other words, you can't win God's approval by obeying all of the laws and the commandments. You can't do enough good things. You can't jump through enough hoops to please God. There's no like credit system where you do enough good things and you earn credit in heaven. When you do some bad things, your points are debited in heaven. Like, you can't do enough. You can't. Okay, it's not about fulfilling the law anymore. It's not about all the commandments. Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus came to this planet. He lived a perfect, sinless life on your behalf, and he did for you what you could never do for yourself. He lived a perfect life. He fulfilled all of the law and the Torah and the commandments in his life, and so that system is now fulfilled. So you can no longer be made right with God by observing all of the law and the commandments. This is really good news for us. This was good news for the shepherds, because the shepherds lived in a society where everybody was striving to observe 613 laws. 613 laws. Have you ever read the Old Testament before? There was a lot of rules and regulations, and they couldn't keep up. And what's worse is the religious leaders made it even worse, because the religious leaders got together and they debated and talked about the religious laws, and they added even more stuff. And so the average person, like the shepherds, felt like they could never do enough to keep up. So this is really good news for you and for me, because let's be honest, as New Testament like Christians, like we struggle with just the Ten Commandments, don't we? Come on, honest moment in church. In fact, Jesus gave us the great commandment. He boiled it all down to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Can we just have an honest moment in church? We struggle enough with loving God with everything we have and loving people. And if you're doing good in the first department, we're certainly struggling in the second department, because Christianity would be easy except for all of these difficult people on planet Earth. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're responding this morning. I'm just saying. We struggle with this stuff. Come on. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the New Testament. I'm thankful for the new covenant of grace and mercy. Come on. I'm a church kid. I grew up in church. My mom used to remind me of what happened to kids like me in the Old Testament. She used to say, boy, you better listen to your parents. You know, back in the Old Testament times, they would take rebellious children. They would take them out and stone them to death. Oh, yeah. She reminded me, you ought to be happy. She liked to remind me every now and then, we might go back to the Old Testament option. I'm just saying, we reserve the right to go back to the Old Testament. Oh, some of y'all didn't grow up in church like me. This is therapy for me. And so here's the good news. It's not about you and me fulfilling all of these laws and commandments like Jesus did for us, what we could never do for ourselves. He fulfilled it in his life. And so the question you might be asking now is, so what is the point of the law in the Old Testament commandments? Good question. I'm glad you asked, because that's point number two. What is the good news? It's not only that you can't earn God's acceptance by observing the laws, but it's also number two. The purpose of the law is to show you your need for a Savior. The purpose of the law. There was a purpose. God always had a plan of salvation that was unfolding. He knew ultimately that the law and the commandments were meant to guide us to Christ. There would be a time when he would send his son. He would send his very own son, because humanity couldn't bear the weight of the commandments any longer. Look at what it says in Romans 3:20, the rest of Romans 3, verse 20. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. That was the purpose of the law. To help us recognize our need for a Savior, to point us to our need. It was a sign. Signs always point to something. Are you with me? It was a sign pointing to the Savior, to the Messiah, the one who would come and fulfill the law and the commandments. What does the law do? It reveals our need for a Savior. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. Most people would say, I'm a really good person. This is why we struggle with this. This sounds like really good news, but it's interesting how much we struggle to actually receive the gift of a Savior. And the thing that gets in our way is this sense that most of us have that, hey, I'm a good person. And here's what we do. We compare ourselves to other people like on a sliding moral scale, right? And so we have the sense of, well, like, I know some really bad people, and I watch the news where people are really doing bad things to each other all the time. And so therefore, I'm a pretty good person. I know, it's just natural. We all tend to think of ourselves that way. Now, if you're married, your spouse may have a different opinion of you, but let's just be real. We tend to think of ourselves that way. But here's the truth. The Apostle Paul is saying it's not really about you comparing yourself to other people. That's not actually the standard. The Apostle Paul is saying the standard is actually the holiness and the perfection of a righteous God. And when you compare yourself to the holiness of Father God, we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. None of us measure up to the standard of a holy and righteous God. Are you with me? We're all put in our place. And so here's the point. Until you see yourself as a sinner, you won't recognize your need for a Savior. Until you come to terms with the fact that you might be a good person, a decent person, but all of us, I'd put it this way, we all have things about us that are broken that we're not even sure how they got broken. Does that resonate? There are things inside of us. There's the person you want to be, and there's the version of who you are today. Let's just be honest. And I'm not condemning you. I'm not saying you're a low-down, dirty sinner, but you got to come to this place of recognizing that when you measure yourself against the standard of a holy and righteous God, we don't measure up. If you struggle with that thought, think about what I said before. There's a standard that you expect of yourself that you can't even live up to. And so when you get a hold of this, that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life on your behalf. He came to this planet. He walked in our shoes. He fulfilled the law. He gave his life for your sins. He did for you what you could never do for yourself. Then you begin to understand the grace of God. Then you begin to understand the goodness of God. And you hear the scripture from Romans that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That God loved you even in your sinfulness, even in your brokenness, even when you were far away from him. He was the God who was reaching out to you, drawing you to himself by his Spirit, through his Son. Then you begin to recognize that the gift of God is the grace of God. And God's grace comes to me as a gift. I've done nothing to deserve it, and I receive it as a gift. And that changes everything. That changes everything. And this morning, there are people all around you who have come to this realization. It's not about me being good enough. It's not about me being a good person. It's not as if there was some ledger in heaven where when I do good things, I get brownie points. And when I do bad things, you know, there's a debit against my account. No. It's Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God, came and offered himself for me, fulfilled the law and the commandments on my behalf. And it changes your heart from the inside out. Changes everything. What is the good news? The good news is that you cannot earn God's acceptance. The purpose of the law is to show you your need for a Savior. And here's the third thing this morning. Righteousness with God comes by faith in Christ alone. Righteousness with God, right standing with God, comes not by your works. It comes by faith in Christ alone. It's Christ plus nothing. It's not Christ plus church membership. It's not Christ plus good works. It's not Christ plus being a really religious person. It's Christ plus nothing. I like to say it this way. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. If you got Jesus, you got everything you need, because righteousness comes by faith in Christ alone. Faith in Christ alone. Look at this. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Let's look at this. It says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes. Read this out loud with me. No matter who we are. Come on, let's try that again. And this is true for everyone who believes. Read this with me. No matter who we are. No matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you come from. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what religious tradition or denomination you grew up in or the lack thereof. Doesn't matter how bad you sinned, how bad you messed this thing up. This gift of salvation, it comes through Jesus Christ. It's for everyone, no matter who you are. Whether you're a shepherd, whether you're a nobody, whether you're a somebody, whether you've been marginalized or whether you're the religious elite, this is for everyone. And it comes through Jesus Christ alone. His finished work, his perfect life, his finished work on the cross, his resurrection to give you new life. It comes by faith alone. And so let me just remind you of some good news this morning. The angels appeared to the shepherds, the people that religion had rejected, the people who felt marginalized, the people who felt far away from God, the people who felt excluded from the religious system, the people who had questions about how do I relate to God? Does he love me? Does he accept me? Does he see me? The angels appeared to them that day, and they brought good news. They said, fear not. Fear not. I bring you good news, which will bring great joy for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is good news for you. This is good news for you, and it's good news for each and every one of us today. How are we saved? Through faith in Christ alone, because Jesus came to this earth to do for you what you could never do for yourself. If you could be a good enough person, then the Son of God would not have had to come. If you could do this on your own to win God's approval, God the Father would not have had to send his Son. And so I want you to get this in your spirit. Like God loves you as you are. There's nothing you can do to make him love you anymore. There's nothing you can do to make him love you any less. He loves you as you are because you don't bring anything to the table. And we struggle with that. You would think the gift of God, the gift of grace would be the easiest thing to receive, but it's not, because in order to receive it, you got to put down your pride. You have to recognize that when it comes to my relationship with God, when it comes to earning salvation, I've got nothing in the bank account. I bring nothing to the equation. It's only the finished work of Jesus Christ. I place my trust in him, and he's the one who restores right standing between me and God the Father. You got to get a hold of this today. got to get a hold of this. It's good news for every one of us. But here's the thing. The beautiful thing is it changes you. And when you really get a hold of this truth, it changes you from the inside out. See, religion is all about us and our efforts to please God. Religion says, like, you know, I have to work really hard and then God will accept me. Like, I got to strive really hard and then God will finally receive me and accept me. And some of you come from a background like that. You come from a church tradition like that. Like, it's all about what you have to do. I've got to do this. I got to do that. I got to be in church on these certain days. I got to, you know, God will accept me if I live this way. No. We get it all mixed up. But that's religiosity. And we always drift toward that naturally. But a relationship with God, the essence of a relationship with God is to come to this place to recognize I'm already accepted by God through Christ. And now I want to do the good works he's called me to. Do you see this? See, what changes everything is gratitude. When you recognize, as the scripture says, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Come on, when you didn't bring anything to the equation, when you were far away from God, when you weren't thinking about him, he was thinking about you. He was the God who was pursuing you by his spirit, offering his son, always had a plan of salvation. We read the parable of the lost son. He's the father who runs out to meet you. When you get a hold of this, what happens is gratitude begins to well up in your heart. And so then you begin to want to do the things that God has called you to do. You begin to want to offer your life as an act of worship to him. It's no longer about obligation. It's no longer about striving. It's no longer about outward conformity. But when you know how well you've been loved, when you know how well you've been received by Father God, it takes away your shame and replaces it with gratitude. And so this morning, I just want to echo that good news to you once again. Fear not, church. Don't fear where you stand with God. Don't fear your standing with God, because this Christmas season, it's about good news, which brings great joy to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Romans 3:22, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. That, my friends, is the good news of the gospel. That, my friends, gives us something to rejoice about, to sing about this Christmas season. Fear not, for unto you a Savior is born. Whether you're feeling inadequate, unworthy, unloved, if you've ever experienced any of those things, the good news is a Savior has been born for you. This good news is for you, amen? Hey, why don't you stand with me? I want to pray for you. And my prayer for you is that we would embrace this freedom from fear, this freedom from having to fear, like, what does God think about me? How do I relate to God? Am I right with him? Or am I good, God? Or like me and you good? That fear would be replaced with a sense of peace that comes from knowing that it's faith alone in Jesus Christ that makes us righteous with God. It's nothing we've done, nothing we haven't done. But there would be a sense of peace, a sense of security in knowing that you've been made right with God the Father because he gave his son for you. We would make an exchange today. We would let go of any fear today and embrace this good news. Let every heart prepare him room today. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the good news of this glorious gospel. God, we thank you for the greatest announcement that's ever been made on planet Earth, that we don't have to be afraid because a Savior has been born to us. Father, today I pray for a fresh revelation of your grace today. For every person in this place, for the person who's known you and walked with you for years, to the person who this is all brand new to them and they're not even quite sure what they believe. Father, we pray today for a fresh revelation of your grace, that we would know how well we've been loved, that you are the loving Heavenly Father who runs out to meet us today, that you demonstrated your love for us, and while we were yet sinners, you gave your son Jesus for us. And we don't have to be afraid today of where we stand with you. Because when we trust in you, Jesus, you bring us into right relationship with the Father. God, I thank you that perfect love casts out all fear. And I pray that over your people today. Thank you that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and judgment today. freedom over your people. And now as we're praying, I believe there are some people in this room, even as you're hearing this message today, something stirring in your heart. There's a sense of, I want what you're describing, Pastor. Maybe you come from a religious background where there's always been a sense of, I have to do something to win God's approval. And you've never felt like you measure up. You've never felt like you were worthy of God's love. And today there's something tugging on your heart. We believe that is the tugging of the Holy Spirit. We believe that is a righteous and holy and loving God who is reaching out to you today and drawing you to himself because he wants to know you. And if that's you today, we want to invite you just to place your faith in Jesus Christ, just as I preached before, to place your faith in him. And I want to invite you just to pray a simple prayer with me to say yes to Jesus. If that's you, I believe God's speaking to some people right now. If that's you, I want to pray for you just with every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to know who I'm praying for. If that's you, nobody's looking around. Just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, you're praying for me. Pastor, you're praying for me. Come on, I see some hands going up. Pastor, you're praying for me. That's me. Yeah, I see hands. Thank you. Pastor, you're praying for me. I need to pray that prayer today. I want to recommit my life to Christ. I want to place my faith in him. Thank you. Would you just pray with me, Jesus? I give you my yes. Come on, we can all pray this today. Jesus, I give you my yes. I give you my yes today. I place my faith in you as my Savior. I believe you are who you said you are, the Son of God, that you live for me, that you died for my sins on the cross, that you were resurrected to give me new life. I turn from my sins today. I place my faith in you today. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you for every person who prayed that prayer today, God. Father, I thank you that you heard that sincere prayer. I pray that even right now by your Spirit, that your Spirit would testify to the hearts of those who prayed that prayer, that they're born again, that they're your sons, they're your daughters. Father, draw them to yourself, God. Make your love more real to them than ever before, God. We thank you for it. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. God, we thank you for lives changed today. We thank you for hearts recommitted to you today. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, come on, church, let's give praise this morning to God for what he's done, amen, for his glorious gospel, for the good news this morning.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.